Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
We're taking time and we're talking about the impact that each and every one of us are called to make together corporately as God's people. You know, so much of what we do in this room, and appropriately so, is that we work on our own lives, our walk with God as individuals, and that's extremely important. We follow God for ourselves. We have God do great things in our life and our intimate relationship with Him. Michelle just finished a small group with a group of ladies that was, I think, about eight weeks, captivated that where you're dealing with real life issues. It's also a time, you know, where individual things happen for you, like you find your wife and get married. And Lamar and Alyssa, would you stand, please? They are now married. Yes. God bless you guys. You thought I wasn't going to remember. Are you crazy? I've hounded him for years. I said, man, I'm telling you, it's God's will. You need to find a wife. And then, man, he just went and hit the long ball. Married Alyssa, and boy was playing. He was just playing right there in Little League baseball, and then they brought him up in the majors for one day, and he hit a home run, and then went back down to Little League. But you got your home run, Lamar. What a wonderful couple. I mean that sincerely. I'll tell you, that's one of the great joys of pastoring a church. When you get to see two wonderful people like that find each other and get married, it is one of the greatest joys, and that was a blast, man. We just love you guys so much. Congratulations. But we do so much on individual basis and level, and it's supposed to be that way. But you know, if that's all you do in your Christian walk, you'll live an imbalanced Christian life. Most of the epistles were not written to individuals in the New Testament. They were written not to Joe Smith at the church at Corinth. It was written to the whole church. And so if you only apply the Bible to your own life, meaning that your own deliverance, your own help, your own walk with God, your own right standing with God, you're going to be imbalanced. Because you don't just have a personal application to the redemptive work of Christ in your life. There's a corporate application. There's a body application. And that's what we're focusing on in this series. Because of you, we've talked about the life change. We've given you stories of life change that have happened because you've chosen to take your part in the body of Christ. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Scripture says this. Now here is what I'm trying to say. All of you together, everyone say together, all of you together are the one body of Christ, and each one of you is a separate and a necessary part. Everyone say, God said, I am necessary. Can I tell you that, and part of this on the front end is going to sound a little bit difficult and negative, but stick with me. It's important to provide the context. I would tell you this, that in the average church in America, about 7% of the people serve. 7%. Now, let's bring that into the application of the physical body. Now, a church that's tearing it up, and I mean by tearing it up, they're going for it for God. They'll be upwards of 20, 25%. And statistically, that's considered hitting home runs. But let me think of it this way. If you got a phone call this afternoon and you said, guys, Pastor John has had a situation in his body. He's in the hospital. They said his body is functioning at 7%. Would you be alarmed? Would you pray for me? Oh, thanks. All right, what if they said his body's at 20%? If they said 7 or 20%, your next thought would be he must be on life support. Right? Sure you would. That would be the next thought you would have. And that's exactly what has happened in the body of Christ. People have thought becoming a part of the body of Christ, that is, recognizing your role, is optional. You'll hear terms like this: I volunteer at my church. No, you don't volunteer in the body of Christ. You've been birthed into the body of Christ. You have to learn to recognize who you are. Now, you can choose whether to discern that part or not, but the fact of it is, the head of the church has brought you into a family. He didn't just come and erase a couple sins. He redeemed you. He called you his own, and then he placed you in his body. The Apostle Paul taught about communion, and he didn't teach about the communion table having been there, because he was saved and came to Christ after the resurrection. So he didn't follow Jesus during his earthly ministry. But the Lord appeared to Paul and taught him. So when Paul in Corinthians talks about communion, he starts by saying this: what I'm about to teach you or deliver to you, the Lord himself taught me. The same night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And you know, he talks about the communion. And then he goes to this part of what Jesus taught him. This is as if Jesus himself is speaking to you about your part in the body. Listen, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 29 and 30. He's talking about when you receive communion. If you eat the bread or drink the cup of the Lord unworthily, here's how you do it unworthily, not discerning the Lord's body, you are eating and drinking judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak, sick, and some have even died. Now, how many of you believe God's word is true? If Jesus thought it enough to appear to Paul to say, listen, Paul, if my people, when they receive communion, is a time where you examine yourself. He said, if they'll learn to discern my body at that time, if they'll examine themselves, he said, something wonderful can happen in their life. But if they don't discern my body, tell them, here, it's a reason, it's not the only reason, it is a reason why many of my people, not everybody, but for many people, they will be weak physically, they will be sick physically, and they'll even die before their time. So this issue must be incredibly important. If it can cost you your health, it can cost you strength, and it can cost you an early death. Now here's the first thought people have. Man, God must be ticked. He is just, he's smacking some heads around. You don't discern my body? Coming for you. It's not what he said. He's talking about what it means. He didn't say he has to discern. You and I have to discern the Lord's body. Now, if you're religious, and if you're full of legalism, and you're full of fear, not understanding the goodness and the mercy of God, you immediately translate this into fear, and oh, I better do something for God, or he's going to kill me. It's not what he said. He said that in my body is life. And if you'll discern that I birthed you to save you, I didn't birth you to just make you a religious robot. I didn't deliver sermons. I delivered people. And I've birthed you and I've called you my own and I've made you brand new in me and I've made you my very right standing. I didn't call you my servants. I've called you sons and daughters. Jesus is the head of the church. We are the body of Christ. And he has made himself dependent on the response of his body to the impulse of the head of the church. And he said, and when you honor and you obey me and find that place I called you to walk in, there is a grace that flows through the body of Christ and a life force that just like my physical body. My body, you can define each part and talk about it and study each part of the body, but the body functions as a whole. Let me illustrate it this way. Let's say today my left hand is completely healthy and functional. But let's say Steve Moore, because you know he's a redneck from Mississippi, has his Bowie knife in his back wherever. You keep Bowie knives when you're from Mississippi. And he just jumps up out of the chair and hacks off my arm. Right here, off at the wrist, and my hand goes plop on the floor. Now they're gonna arrest Steve and y'all beat him half to death if he does it, okay? But here's the deal. My hand flops on the floor. Now, we have doctors in this church and nurses, and so y'all are going to come help me, right? So you're bleeding. I don't want to get blood on me. Will you help me? Those of you who can't help and you're going to get sick, just pray. Close your eyes and pray. Here's what they're going to do. They're going to stop the bleeding because my hand's been severed. And then somebody really, really brave is going to grab that hand. They're going to put it in. I've heard a couple things. You put it in a bag of ice or in milk. Is it the ice? Milk does a body good. I thought, I don't know what it is. It just, I don't know. But anyway, so they rush me to the hospital, right? They get me in the emergency room right here in Cranberry. And the people at Cranberry said, no, we don't attach stuff here. Put that rascal in a helicopter. And they bring me somewhere in Pittsburgh where there are people that we have a surgeon in this church. He's a specialist of a specialist of a specialist of a specialist. They're going to send me to that guy or lady. Come on, man. Will y'all help me make sure Don't send me like Steve Moore's butcher. You know, like, show that rascal back on. So now, they come, they go to the emergency room, they hand my hand to somebody in the emergency room, and the guy brings it in, gives it to the doctor, and they put a hand in the bag outside of the milk or whatever they have it in, and they reattach it in surgery. To the extent they can reconnect the blood flow to this hand is to the extent my hand will have use. What nerves they can connect through microsurgery, and what they fail to connect will cause my hand to grow weak. And if they can't connect it sufficiently, because his Bowie knife, he hit me on the serrated edge side, redneck. But anyway, even though they reattached it, there's not enough life flow coming out of the body into it, and it will grow weak, and it will grow sick, and it will begin to die, and they will have to go back into surgery and cut it off permanently. Now, my hand is not being judged by God. My hand is alive because it's connected. And God's saying simply this: if you'll understand, I put you in the body because I want my life to flow through you for a purpose. Not just to bless others, but there's a benefit to you as an individual. And that's the same with the physical body as the body of Christ. And I'm going to tell you guys, in 30 years of pastoring and church ministry, I should say, 20 years of pastoring, I've watched so many people's lives. And you say, well, are you talking about me? Because I don't mean once or twice. I'm talking to you so predominantly have I seen this happen that I can't even remember how many times I've seen it through the years, where people will come and they'll start to walk with God, and then they'll find things that are more important. Jesus will be second, then third, then fourth, then fifth, and then he's a few times a year, if that. And they begin to disconnect from the kingdom of God and from the body of Christ. And they're no longer doing anything in the body. And for this cause, see, sometimes we think, well, they grow weak, sick, and die prematurely. No, no, no. Not just people. Their relationships grow weak. I've watched marriages fail that didn't have to. Kids go off and have difficulty that never would have had they simply been in the body. Look, I'm all for prayer, and we should pray. I'm all for help. I'm all for teaching. I'm all for all the things that we can do. But let me tell you something. There is something about being connected to the purpose of God and serving in the body of Christ and discerning your part in the body that nothing else will do. And I mean nothing else. Now, I don't want to leave it at that, because now all of us can look back at our lives and think, well, man, if I would have and I could have and I should have. Let me tell you the other side of this. I've watched people, after they'll be coming for a while and God's working in their life and they're putting God first in their life, and then all of a sudden that they have that ebb where they just kind of go away. They stop discerning their part. And I've watched people take 5, 10, 15 years of their life, and I'll see them and they'll come back to me a shadow of what they were spiritually and sometimes even physically. And they'll come and they'll see me out in the cafe, and I'm thrilled they're back. No one's here judging them. I don't care what they've done or what they've been through. We're not here to see through people, but to see them through. We fight life together here. We don't judge, put people down. You're back, let's go for it. We're going to fight this through together, and God's for you. We're for you. But I can't tell you, and I don't mean once, I don't mean twice. More times than I can recollect, they've said this in so many words to me. And I mean, they put their head down, Pastor. I know you haven't seen me in years, and just, I've messed my life up. Oh, my God. What I've done and what's happened. And then they'll tell me something in their life. And they're like, here's what I always say. Just come, sit in church and sit there. Don't do a thing. Just sit there and again, learn how much God loves you. Because it takes them 2 or 3 months just to get past the fact of what the bad decisions they've made. Then I've watched those same people have Jesus show up. Let me tell you, all the king's horses and all the king's men can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again, but Jesus can. He can put some stuff back together. Let me tell you, if you live long enough, you're going to need Jesus to put some stuff back together in your life and in your family. I don't care who you are, how much you love God. I'm telling you guys, there's something about a living God that when he shows up in a broken world, Jesus said, one of the first things he said when he came, when his first sermon was, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. I've come to deliver those that have been bruised in life. I've come to deliver the captives and set them free. That's what he came for. He came to deliver people. And I've watched it happen to individuals when they don't discern the Lord's body. I've watched when churches don't discern the Lord's body and churches grow weak, sick, and die and have no power. You see, people will say things like this to a person. I've noticed that maybe it's just new to me, but I don't know. But it's noticed to me that abs are like big now. People are into abs. And like guys will, you know, with the washboard stomach, evidently is quite attractive. Now, I also have a 6-pack. It's just covered by a 12-pack. But, you know, I guess that washboard stomach is an attractive thing while it's on the body. But if we peel the skin off, hack off the muscles and put them on a plate, and now I show you the washboard stomach, it'll turn your stomach. Those abs lose their beauty outside of the context of their body, and they lose their function. Well, if that wasn't gross enough, let me do it this way. My, you have beautiful eyes. Well, pop that rascal out and stick it on plates. Two eyeballs just bouncing on the plate, rolling around. They aren't beautiful anymore. The most beautiful eyes in the world outside of the context of the body become gross and they lose their function. It matters that you serve. I volunteer once. Stop that volunteer nonsense, stupidity. Don't volunteer in the body. You're birthed into the body of Christ and you discern your part or you don't discern your part. Ain't no volunteers. Guys, if your heart got up this morning and said, I'm a volunteer, I'll beat if I'm up to it. But if not, I want to watch a ball game. That's how Christians live their life. And they almost feel like they're throwing the church a bone. I've had people come to me through the years, and I'm not being critical, I'm just being honest. And kind of almost like, you know, you need to be thankful that I'm volunteering. It's like, whoa. I'm not God. When you die, you won't talk to me, you'll talk to him. I didn't put you in the body, he did. You don't do what you do for your church, trying to help the church. Please, you are the church. You are a part of the body. If you discern your part, there will be a force of the grace of God that you will experience. And if you don't, there will be a part you won't. And there's nothing other than that fact. And there's nothing you're going to do about it except either discern or not discern. Can I tell you this about the God we serve? He's the only one who can go backwards into time. He's the only one who can go into your past and heal your yesterday. Look, I'm all for counseling, so don't misinterpret this. I so appreciate Christian counseling, so don't misinterpret this. But no counselor can heal your past. They can bring you to places that if God doesn't show up, all you're going to have is a gaping wound. But the God we serve and the grace that he has in our life, he will heal your past. He will secure your today. He will anchor your tomorrow. And there's no one on the planet that can do that for you like Jesus. No one. And he does it by his act of mercy, love, and grace. You know, your father and your mother, they weren't the first ones to see you. The people in the delivery room when you were birthed were not the first people to see you. The Bible said your father knew you before you were. Before the foundations of the world, he knew you and he ordained you. And the purpose for your life was set before anybody ever saw you. That's why I'm so passionate about wanting people to find their place in the kingdom of God. And not just having, you know, this religious game people play. And listen. I've been spending time on this. I'm going to rehearse it again. There's just four simple things that I would encourage you to adopt as a part of your lifestyle. If you want to be a part of the body, yielding to the body of Christ, that is your part in it, discerning your part in the body. And number one, it gets real simple. Come to church on the weekends. So, well, are you condemning me? No, you're here. How many of you are here? So I'm not talking to you if you're not here. How many, you're here in the building. Please, you're here. Okay, good. So you're here is come to church every weekend. And I'm not being legalistic. Look, if you got something going on, you're going to go away with your family, you're going to go away with your spouse, whatever, and have a fun weekend, go for it. I'm not talking about go on vacation. Go on vacation. I'm talking about, but basically, do you know the average Christian comes to church once every three weeks out of the month? They just, boom, then 3 weeks, boom. Then that's their practice. Listen to what the scripture tells you in Hebrews 10:25.
Let us not neglect or forsake our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back again is drawing near. Now, I'm not talking about legalism. Okay, please don't misinterpret this. I remember years ago we were about to go on vacation, and this guy came up to me. And you know, sometimes you can almost see scribes and Pharisees right over people's head when they come. They wear a sign, scribe and Pharisee, and doctor of the law. So they come, and I guess I announced, I must have said we're going on vacation. And the guy came up, and that nice, you know, that religious voice people use, it just bothers me. Because unless you talk to everybody like that, don't when you become like Christianized, you know, I trust. Who talks that way? So the guy comes up to me and says, I trust you'll find a house of God on vacation. I said, nope. Going to the beach, sleeping in, not going to church. You're not going to the house of God? Nope. I am the house of God. The Bible said we are the house of God, not the building. Amen. So I'm not talking about legalism. So don't misinterpret this, but there is a place of recognizing the body and coming together and making it a part of your life. Let me tell you, I've been to that building a few times back there. I've heard Jesus said back there before we get there, I promise you. The guys building that back there have been saying his name. It ain't been the way we say it on this side of the wall. It's not the house of God. It's brick and mortar. You're the house of God. And then secondly, apart on that, on coming to church, bring somebody with you that doesn't know Jesus. So, well, that's just inconvenient. Dying on a cross is inconvenient. Not having the mission. See, making what matters to God matter to you is what it, that's all it is. It's what matters to the head of the church is what controls the body. And seeking and saving the lost is what he came for. So as a matter of practice, look for ways to get people to come to church with you on the weekends, because we work every weekend very hard and trust God every weekend to present the gospel in a way that thousands of people come to Christ. Next weekend is Easter. I'm telling you, you can almost get the devil to come to church on Easter. We're going to have four services on Saturday, 5:30 and 7:30, instead of our normal 6, and our normal and 9:30 and 11:15. Is it 11:15? Okay. I know if we moved it to 11:30 for Easter. I don't know. Hey, I just got to make sure I got the facts. Bring somebody with you. So where are we going to put them? We're pretty full now. Guys, we just changed. So the 9:30 service, when we made our change, a lot of people went to the 9:30. And this service is now almost, it's almost exactly the same size in a week or two. I'm telling you, when those spaces open up, you're going to see something happen that I'm telling you, people have prayed for. God is about to do something incredible. And he's not going to do it with someone else. He's going to do it through you. So come to church, make it a part of your practice, and bring people that either are lost, don't know Christ, or need help, which means human beings. Bring them with you. Don't go sneak them out of other churches. Well, I like our church. We'll like ours more than yours. No, leave them in the church. We don't have enough seats to do that. Let's go get people that don't know Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Second thing is this. Go through the growth track. Don't pray about it. Don't hope about it. Go through the growth track. And it's as simple as the world. 101, 201, 301, 401. 101 is the first Sunday night of every month. 201 is the 301, 401. It's simple. Every month from now on, first, second, third, fourth, you'll know exactly what's going on. Starts the same time every Sunday night, 6 o'clock. You sign up the same way. All you have to do is, and you sign up, let us know in advance. As much as you can, we're going to feed you. We're going to watch your kids. You're going to be eating, and someone's going to share for you. 101 is starting. The first one is going to be April 7th, Sunday night, 6 o'clock. We really do need people to get signed up because we want to make sure we have enough food. I'm Italian. Michelle's from the South. I can tell you this. If we don't feed people properly and there's not enough food, I'm telling you, my wife, she will go on her knees and begin to weep. She must feed you. My son brought 2 kids home from school. All I can tell you, she made food in portions. I said, baby, there's only two more people with Ryan. She made food to where all of y'all could have came to our house. There'd have been leftovers, okay? So if you haven't yet signed up, and you can, this is every month you can do this, but go to 101. Michelle and I will always teach it. And it's a time where we'll show you and talk to you about the mission of Victory, how to become a member. You can actually become a member that night. and multiple ways to sign up for it. You can text. This is in the seat in front of you. You can sign up. You can see somebody out there with a Dream Team shirt. You can do it on the website. Go to Media and Events Center. We're going to get Tinkerbell to walk around and fly through the air eventually. I mean, you can. It's easy to do it. Sign up and come. And we'll have a blast together. Then 201 is the second Sunday night with the essentials. We'll talk to you about how to develop the spiritual habits that every Christian should have. 301, which even if you are a member and serving in Victory, I'm going to encourage you at the very least to go to 301 and 401. 301 is when you discover and we test you and give you ways to find out whether you can discover whether you're a finger or an elbow. Because if you're a finger, you make a bad elbow, and conversely, the other way. So we're going to help you discover. And then 401, every fourth Sunday night, every ministry in this church will be here to orient you. We'll come, we'll eat together, and while you're eating, they'll have a brief presentation, and then they'll let you go to wherever you want to go to be oriented. So what if I get involved in an area and I don't like it? Then don't serve there. This isn't the mafia. You can get out. I'm serious. But a lot of people are afraid. Well, you know, if I get busy, they'll make me stay forever, Jesus. If it doesn't fit you, you say, it's not a fit. Find somewhere else till you hit that place where the grace of God in your life has met and you're serving. And I'm telling you, there's something, there's nothing to compare it to. Thirdly, this, join a small group. We're going to start them in the fall, and I don't have time right now to get into the details of why we've made the change. I'll give you more details about small groups as we get there, because every person needs to be connected, and we're going to talk to you a little bit more about that. Then the fourth thing is this, is get busy serving. Go through the growth track, and don't just go through a class. Get busy serving somewhere in the kingdom of God. Listen, if you're not serving, you're swerving. You've got to get on the path that God has for you. You can drive and run and as hard and fast as you want to, but if you're on the wrong road, you get nowhere. Find a place to get involved. So I've been offended by church. Grow up. So what? I've been offended in marriage. I'm still married. And I know she's been offended in marriage. And I got three kids. They've offended me a lot of times. We're still, you don't just walk out of a family. Now, I understand if there's a situation where you don't feel confident to go to a church. That's different. But so-and-so wasn't nice to me. Whoop-de-doo, grow up. Grow up, big boy, and just get at it again. And forgive, like you've been forgiven. And you say, I've got a list of things before I'm going to volunteer. Grow up. You have a Savior that died for you. He's not asking permission. I mean, Jesus isn't coming saying, please do this for me, please. I'll scratch your back. I mean, he's God. Don't be cavalier about God. He's God. And this matters. And it doesn't just matter to my life and your life as individuals, as important as that is. But when we serve together, guys, I'm telling you, 20 years ago almost, when we started this church, that first Sunday, Michelle and I and 31 other people showed up. That first day, I talked to you about the things that were in our heart, those that were there, and I talked to them about the day you're sitting in right now. I talked to them about the day that building would be built. And I can remember people just going, you're out of your mind. You could see it in their eyeballs. And I can tell you, I'm more convinced. I was thoroughly persuaded, as was Michelle, that day would come, and it's here. But let me tell you what I'm equally persuaded of. We are soon to see God do something that is going to shake a generation of people, that is going to help lift the expectation of other churches for God to do greater things in their midst, for people to rise up. This evening, I'm going into the city of Pittsburgh to a church. They've asked me to come in and meet with their leaders to kind of talk to them about this very issue. It matters that we make a difference in the lives of other people. Jesus came. Aren't you glad he found you? Aren't you glad you're not going to hell? Aren't you glad that he's restoring your broken life? Are there words for God? I don't have words to be grateful for what he's done for me. Don't forget, you came out of that brokenness. And we want to take everybody we can with us out. And guys, I'm telling you, we're going to see thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands upon thousands of people come to Christ, grow spiritually, become skillful in the Word of God, be connected and serve. And that mighty force comes together. Let me tell you, the world's so dark and this is so bad. The only thing wrong with this world is the absence of light. Well, it's so dark. It's only dark because the church is called the light of the world and it's under a bushel. Get out of the stands and get onto the field. Get busy for God. Go through the growth track, discover your place, and just get busy somewhere. So I haven't felt lead yet. Well, go grab a lead pencil, rub the lead on the end, feel lead, and get busy. Get busy for God. Get busy, get busy, get busy, get busy for God. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll wind this down. He said, under his control, verse 16, all the different parts of the body fit together. The whole body is held together by every joint which is provided. So when each separate part works as it should, does its doing its share of the work, the whole body grows and builds itself up in love. God made you unique, even your fingerprint on the end of your fingers. No one has ever had it like it in history. No one ever will. As unique as that is as unique of an imprint that only you can make in the world that you live. The uniqueness that you are in God. The things that He'll equip you to do, not just as an individual, but as a part of the whole. And when you do that, guys, lives get changed. I've been telling you throughout the series about individual lives that have been changed. People have been telling you their stories of how Jesus has changed their life and how grateful they are for many of you who have found your place in the body and have served other people. And because of you, I mean this sincerely, because of you, people like Lamar and Alyssa found each other. And what an amazing love story. And people's lives have been put back together. It's just because of you. And I've been telling you about a lot of the stories and the imprints that you've left. But I'd rather right now you take a moment and get to see them. So I want you to take a moment and enjoy watching the reason Jesus came and what's happened because of you. Take a look. You know, for those around us that don't know Jesus, this is their cardboard testimony. This is what their life says today. And on the other side, it's completely blank. You and I get to write this story for people by what we do in the kingdom of God. What we do with the world around us, whether we ignore the mission of Jesus, whether we stay in the stands or whether we get on the field, isn't up to God, it's up to us. And for people today that this is their testimony without Christ, this only changes when people like you and I take the gospel to a hurting and dying and lost world. And I want to pray in a moment, I want to pray for you that opportunities will come across your path. And that if you don't find them, you'll go take them. You'll go look for them. If you can, if you don't, they don't fall in your lap, you go beat them into your lap, as it were. Go talk to people, not about religion. Talk to them about your Redeemer. Talk about how good God is. And encourage them to come with you. Easter next week is a great time to bring people with you. I really want to encourage you to do that. And I want to pray for you. I want to pray over your lives and over my life that we would recognize that the world around us is in this condition. And that today, this is the outcome. It's blank. We are going to believe God next week to write a different story for at least 1,000 people. How many of you believe in God for that? Amen? Amen. Let me pray for you. Amen. Would you mind being seated and we'll pray together? Father, I just pray over every person here under the sound of my voice. First, I pray for anybody that may be here, that may be looking back over their life and feeling regret and feeling like if I'd done this and I'd done that, maybe that might not have happened or that might not have happened or that could have happened. Lord, help none of us to live in the pain of regret. Help none of us to help us that we'll not just stay in that place. There's no profit there. Help us to understand that you are a redeeming God right now. You are a redeeming God right now. And it's not too late with you. That you can do works that none of us could ever dream can be done because you are faithful. And so I pray that you would lift people today, no matter what they're facing, that you would lift them. And then, Lord, that we would take this day forward. We can't change yesterday, but this day forward and trust you for that super and abundant grace that exists in you, that as we discern the body of Christ, the wonders of your grace and mercy, nothing we earn, nothing we work for, it's just by saying, I'm in. I found my part flow through me, as imperfect as I may be. Lord, help me
to yield to you, to help and to lift others. So, Lord, I thank you as we do that, we will experience that greater glory in our life. And this is a place, Lord, where we stand with one another. We don't beat each other up because you don't beat us up. We stand and we walk through and fight through life together. For these many people that were here today sharing their testimonies, their cardboard testimonies, every one of us in this room could carry that and have a story that, to tell because of your mercy. So, Lord, I pray that we take seriously our part in your kingdom. We discern our part. As heads remain bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life, if today you were to draw your final breath and were to slip into an eternity, where would you spend it? With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know what would happen to me if I died right now, please hear me. Please hear this. Jesus said there's a heaven and Jesus said there's a hell. And he said that there's no way to redeem yourself. He said, I am the way, truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. You can't earn heaven. Church membership won't make you a Christian. Well, I was baptized in the church. That's a wonderful thing, but that didn't make you a Christian. There is no sacrament of any church that can make you a Christian, including this one. There is no church membership, no pastor, no priest that can make you right with God, no religion, and no religious teaching, including anything in this church. Only Jesus, who died on that cross to bear the debt and the weight of your sin, and the debt you and I could never pay. In fact, the Bible said if there was any other way to eternal life other than the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, then he died in vain. And he paid an awful price to redeem you. So the question I want you to process right now in your heart is, what will you do with him? Not religion. Say, I'm not religious. Well, good, stay that way. I'm not talking to you about religion. I'm talking to you about walking with a living God in everyday life, in a real life, where he'll show up in your everyday world where things get broken and help you because he loves you. So if you're here today and you've never given your heart to him, or you're not sure if you died today where you'd spend forever, you say, I want to know. I believe he's the Son of God, died on that cross, buried, rose from the dead. But I don't know that I've ever really invited the Lord into my life to be my Savior. And I want Pastor John to do that today. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you'd say, please include me in that prayer, Pastor, I will pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will pray the prayer out loud and together with you. As in a moment, I'll ask you to lift your hand and acknowledge that you want included in that prayer. And then we'll all pray that prayer out loud together with you. So if you're here today, you'd say, Pastor, would you please include me in that prayer? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you just lift your hand right now where you're seated? And I'll pray for you. Do it right now. And we're going to pray. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Put your hand back down. Thank you. Thank you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You've not yet raised your hand. Say, Pastor, include me with those that have. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just lift it high so I can see it. Thank you. God bless you. And we'll include you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to wait one more moment on you. Your eternity is worth a moment. Say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. As heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. If you raised your hand, or you should have, would you please pray this out loud where you hear it? Thank you. God bless you. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you or forsake you. Pray it where you hear it. Say it out loud. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart, the door of my life, and Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound, and I confess boldly that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Would you give them a hand, please? God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.